Well, hey, good morning, friends, and welcome to Washington Avenue. Before you get too comfortable, just because there's going to be a little bit of shuffling, I'd like to invite all the kiddos in the room to come hang out right up front with me for just a little bit, okay? Y'all want to do that? Come up here. You're going to give the sermon today, actually, so I hope you're ready. Just have a seat right here on the ground, and you can sit on the steps, all right? We're going to do something a little different together this morning, all right? Cool, and y'all can, I know that this sounds weird, but you can actually turn and look at me because I'm going to talk straight to you guys for a little bit. Look at you guys just on a line, ready to go. Let me get your stuff. Is that all of them? I see a couple more back there. You guys going to come? Wood boys, no? All right, well, you're a loss. No, just kidding. Anybody else? Hi, girls. You can just sit anywhere you want to. It's really okay, all right? Sit right there by Elise. She's our little child mommy here. All right. How are you guys doing? Can I sit with you guys? Duncan, you're going to sit too, buddy? Hey, I have a question for you guys. Y'all turn and look at me, all right? I have a question. What is the first thing you do when you build a house? What do you work on first? Do you know? The walls? What do you think? The floor? What do you think? The ceiling. The ceiling first? Whoa. How does it stay up there?
Probably they put some trucks there.
Some trucks underneath it, and they just hold it up. And then they put everything else around it. The foundation, Elise. Good job. You have been paying attention. Who said Jesus? What? You don't know what foundation means? It's kind of a tricky word, huh? So it's the very bottom, right? So like this bit right here. Underneath the carpet, there's concrete, and that concrete is called the foundation, and it holds everything else up. You have to have the foundation before you put the walls up, or before you put the ceiling up, or before you put the carpet in, or the chairs, or anything like that. The foundation's the most important thing. You guys want to play a game?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You said Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're preempting everything that I'm trying to do here. But that's okay. You were right, because what did you say?
Floor,
close. Yeah, you said walls. It's not bad. Hey, I need two volunteers, all right? Layla, and I just went blank on your name. I'm so sorry.
Ronnie,
gosh, I know. You have so many brothers that I can't forget. Okay, Ronnie, come here. And Layla, come here. Oh, you okay? You were just crawling. Okay, that scared me. I was like, did he fall? What? No, unfortunately not. This is just going to be a one-turn game, all right? Layla, you get to pick first. Do you want this side or this side? This side, good choice. All right, come right over here. Ronnie, you're gonna come right over here, buddy, okay? And in the box, you can stand up, all right? And in the box right here, we've got some blocks, and you've got some blocks here, Layla, and your job, Layla, is to build us a house, okay? Ronnie, you too, buddy, build a house. Well, girls get to choose first. That's just how it goes. And I'm going to read us the scripture, okay? Ready? This is Matthew chapter 5. Lies. It's Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. It says this, all right? Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, obeys it, is wise. Like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds his house on the sand. Don't touch that, it might fall. When the rains come and the winds blow, the house on the rock stands strong, but the house on the sand falls down with a big crash. Now, guys, we have been in a series that we have called The Summer on the Mount. And in it, we have been studying the Sermon on the Mount. Does anybody know what the Sermon on the Mount is?
No.
No. Anybody know what the Sermon on the Mount is? Does anybody know what a sermon is? Does anybody know what a mount is? Do you know what on means? Anything?
I know what on means.
You know what on means? Okay, good. All right. Whew. Not all is lost. All right.
On means is like this is the chair. I'm like walking
to it and I sit on it. You sit on it. Okay, so like you weren't on it, but now you are. Okay, so using that, the sermon is a message, right? It's somebody talking and giving a lesson, right? So a sermon on a mount. Do you know what a mount is?
Yeah.
It's short for a mountain. You know what a mountain is?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the Sermon on the Mountain then?
A message on the mountain.
Great job. Yeah, so Jesus gives the sermon on a mountain. Good job, right? Deductive reasoning, everybody. Woo! Jesus gave this sermon on a mountain, a lesson on a mountain to show. It's a lesson. I'll try and use that word, okay? It's a lesson on the mountain to try and show everybody how best to follow after him. Oh, what happened, buddy? Oh, darn. It was doing so good, huh? Shucks. So, in the end of the sermon, the lesson, excuse me, on the mountain, Jesus gives this scripture that we just read, right? And he tells the story about these two guys. One builds his house on rocks and one builds his house on sand, right? And he says that anybody who listens to his words and obeys them is like a person who builds his house on the rocks, right? When the rains come and the wind blows, the house isn't going to fall over, right, Layla?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't?
No.
See this rock right here?
Yeah.
See Layla's pretty house? Look, see how we're shaking it and it's not moving?
Yeah.
Ooh. Look at Ronnie's, huh? Ronnie's is sand. Oh. Try again, Ronnie. Sorry. So, come here. Oh, you're helping. You're so sweet. So, the lesson this morning for us is this. If we hear what Jesus says and do what Jesus says, then we'll be like wise people, like Layla over here, who built a really sturdy wall on a really sturdy foundation, right? So if we hear what Jesus says and we do what Jesus says, we'll be like Layla. But if we hear what Jesus says and we don't do what Jesus says, we're kind of like Ronnie, who built his house on a pillow. It's not a great spot to build a house, is it? It's his third try, yeah. And you know what? The more and less you follow Jesus' words, the more tries that you have, and it continues to fail. Ronnie, great job. You guys can have a seat. Great job. Give me five. Not you guys. Y'all stay here because we're not quite done yet. Ronnie, good job. So when we hear and obey, then we are in good shape. Our life will stand strong. So here's a question for you. What does it look like? What does it look like to build your life on Jesus' teachings? What does that mean? What does it mean to build your life on Jesus' teachings? What do you think?
Obey Jesus' rules.
Obey Jesus' rules. What are some rules of Jesus' that we could obey, that you right now could obey?
I don't know.
Yeah. How about listening to mommy and daddy? Great job. Did you say that because I just said it?
No.
No? Is that what you were going to say before I said it?
Yes.
Good job. I believe you. All right. What are some other rules that we could obey? Yeah.
Don't lie to your mom and dad.
Don't lie to anybody. How about that? Right? Don't lie to mom and dad, but don't lie to anybody. True. What were you going to say, buddy?
Don't follow the church rules.
Follow the church rules. You're hired. I like you. All right. What else? Any other thoughts?
Always obey Jesus.
Always obey Jesus. That kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? All right, does that make sense? So when we do that, when we obey what Jesus says, then our house will be strong like Layla's and it won't be faulty like Ronnie's over here, right? I didn't fall down, also all two blocks, great job. All right, hey, let's do a quick prayer together real quick and then you guys can go back to your seats, all right? Here we go, we're gonna pray, all right? Jesus, thank you for being our rock. Help us not to just listen to your words, but to obey them and live our lives so that no matter what, when the storms come, our house will be firm. Thank you for your words, and thank you for these kids, and thanks for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray, amen. All right, great job, guys. Let's give these kiddos a hand. All right, I tell you what, I'm just gonna leave that right there. How about that? Ronnie's bound and determined. I appreciate your competitiveness, Ronnie. I would be doing pretty much the same thing, just standing up there trying to make it work, right? Can I continue the illustration for just a minute? Uh-huh, he said, yeah. So, he's like, I don't know what to do now. Great job, Ronnie! Yeah, yeah. This table's so tall, I hate it. I got this new table, I really hate it. Most of the time, it's fine, it'll be great. Cool, let me pray. Thanks for today, God, for this time that you've given us together. Be with us this morning as we dive into your words and try to put a cap on this series that you have blessed us with this summer, the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for Jesus' words and for his work more than that even. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. It was the summer of 2015, I believe. No, lies. It was the summer of 2014. Not that it matters a whole ton, but it does to me because I like dates and things like that. It was the summer of 2014, and my new girlfriend had come to visit all the way from New Hampshire. She had come to visit me and my family, to meet the family. It was kind of a big deal. She flew down by herself. I happened to be home on a break from my internship as well before I went up there and started my new job. And my wife, Samantha, came to visit me before she was my wife, and she was just my girlfriend. And we had a great week. It was early summer, early June, I believe, even. And on our last night or second to last night before we head back to New Hampshire, together, my parents have this really great little three seasons room, four seasons room, whatever you call those things. We call it the sunroom at my house. So they have a sunroom. It's kind of a screened-in porch on the back of our house. And it was a nice night. We were sitting out there, and we were just enjoying the time together, just Samantha and I. And we were just chit-chatting about all these things. And as we're sitting there, this storm starts to build and to roll in. And we're watching it. And, you know, so spoiler alert. Thunderstorms are not a thing in New Hampshire, really. Like, it's very different than the thunderstorms that we get here. And so Samantha is getting more anxious as it builds. And I'm like, it's fine. You know, nothing, no big storms ever really happen here. Like, we get the thunder and we get a little bit of hail sometimes, but there's never any, like, tornadoes or anything like that. So we're watching this thing build and enjoying the lightning show and all of this stuff. And there was a particular moment with a particular strike of lightning that highlighted for me a funnel cloud that was dropping right in my parents' land. And I'm thankful that I saw it. And I said, hey, Samantha, we need to go inside right now. Like right now. She's like, why? What's this is nice. I was like, no, we just we need to go. So we got up and we went to the back door and the back door was locked because my parents thought that we had went to bed and they went to bed and they locked us out. So I ran around, and it's at this point pouring rain and it's beginning to hail. I run around to the front of the house. That door is also locked as well because my parents just thought we were in for the night. And so I'm locked out of my own house that I'm in and living in, and I don't have a key. And so I just begin to madly like bang on the door and ring the doorbell. Mom and Dad wake up, and we turn on the weather, we turn on the news. And I turn to Samantha at one point, and she's like very nervous, but just trying to like be calm because this is the first time she's met my parents, and so she's just trying to kind of play it cool a little bit. And I said, "Hey, Samantha's a photographer by trade, and she had brought her camera with her." I said, "Hey, if you like your camera a lot, you should go get it." And she was like, "But why?" I was like, "Well, we're about to go down into the cellar, and you would probably want that because it's an expensive piece of equipment." And her face was just like, "Oh." Oh, storms will come. Storms will come. The question before us this morning is not if the storm comes, but when the storm comes, what do you do? And we're at the very end of a 13-week journey this morning through the Sermon on the Mount, where for 13 weeks we have walked through and talked about the things that Jesus talked about, the things that Jesus said are necessary, not to do to be a part of his kingdom, but rather to be a part of his kingdom. And one of the universal truths that we've learned about the Sermon on the Mount this summer is that it's not necessarily about doing, it's more about becoming, right? These are the types of people that Jesus wants his followers to become. And As he has turned his attention towards the end of the message, he's actually laid out for us about four different choices. It started with the pigs and the dogs and the pearls, right? Don't throw your pearls before swine. It continued with the wide path and the narrow path, the wide gate and the narrow gate that Jake covered for us last week in reminding us that Jesus is the most inclusive exclusivist that there has ever been. And Jesus' inclusion and exclusivity, Jesus' exclusivity actually is a freeing thing rather than a constricting and binding thing. And this morning, the lesson before us, the text before us this morning, is this final choice. Will we be like the person who builds their house on this rock? Or will we be like Ronnie, who built his house on the sand? And to continue the illustration, it's not a matter of building your house, right? The house is getting built. Either way, Ronnie did a great job. 4 or 5 different times it fell and he just put his nose to the grindstone and kept building. The problem isn't like that the house was being built. The problem is that eventually a storm comes. Sorry, buddy. And when the storm comes, what do you do? It's kind of funny if you read this and like understand what Jesus is doing here, because this is the conclusion of his sermon. And you know, usually our conclusions to our sermons are pretty heartfelt, right? Like, kind of like an emotional plea and like, come on, like Jesus is ready for you. He's right here with open arms. Jesus's conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount is, hey, pay attention to what I said. And if you don't, you die. And he walked off the stage. It's like not quite the compassionate conclusion that most of us are prepared for. It's a mic drop moment for Jesus. So pay attention to what I say, build your house on the right things. If you don't, you die. Boom, mic dropped, end of the sermon. And so what I want us to do together in the time that we have left this morning, which isn't a lot, is just this. I want us to just kind of review some of the things that Jesus has said to us. Because the things that Jesus says to us are the things that he is inviting us to build our house on. And what's interesting is that from the world's perspective, it might look the opposite. That the things that Jesus tells us to do is the sand, right? The unstable foundation and the things of the world. That's where you build your house on, because these things are sturdy, because these things make sense. Think about it with me, if you will. Who Jesus invites. Let me just read for you Matthew 5:3-11. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke just says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Luke just says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. These are the people that Jesus invites into his kingdom. These are the people to whom Jesus says, this is for you. Not the up-and-comers, but the down-and-outers. Not the people who have already established their patterns and positions within this world, but these people who have been overlooked consistently, who are consistently uninvited, who are consistently overlooked and overshadowed and overthrown. Jesus says, you are the people whom this is for. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, don't murder. But I tell you, don't be angry. You have heard that it was said, if you don't commit adultery. But I tell you, don't even look at a person with the intent to lust after them. You have heard that it was said, keep your oaths. I say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, turn the other cheek. Give your cloak and your shirt. Go the extra mile. You have heard that it was said, the world's wisdom says, don't murder. You have a right to get even. But I tell you, don't even be angry. And I have felt this tension with you guys all summer as we've navigated these texts, because these are challenging texts, right? And sometimes I wonder that we're so familiar with them that we don't feel the challenge behind them. Jesus says, if your righteousness would, if you would be a part of my kingdom, your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. And we're just like, okay, cool. We don't feel the tension in these teachings because we're so familiar with them and so comfortable with them. But if you allow yourself just to think about these things for just a moment, then it becomes really easy, possibly, to begin to think to yourself, well, Jesus, like, dude, that just doesn't make any sense. Turn the other cheek when somebody strikes me? You want me to just be, you just want me to be beaten up? And we talked about that in the message, so I'm not going to rehash that. But what I think that Jesus would say is like, hey, yeah, turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give the shirt off your back. You know why? Because blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be the sons of God. Jesus, in this world we live in with the fashionable clothing and stuff, it's like it's so hard not to look at people lustfully. I don't even mean to, but it just happens. Jesus says, yeah, I know, I get it. Blessed are the pure, for they will see God. What do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean when you say, gosh, I just went blank. I'm so sorry. What do you mean when you say, don't make an oath? How am I supposed to know the promises? Like, how am I supposed to not get taken advantage of, right? I need to be in these contracts with people so that I know that I'm being taken care of. You know what? Even if you are taken advantage of and you find yourself lost with everything, with nothing, and you go from rich to poor, Jesus would say, blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew says. Mark would say of Jesus, blessed are the poor, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And the fact of the matter is, friends, that you can take the Beatitudes and you can lay them over the top of the Sermon on the Mount, and you can connect each and every one of those things in the Beatitudes to every single one of the teachings that Jesus gives us to live out. Because the beginning of the sermon and the end of the sermon ought to cohese and to make sense. And sometimes we run the risk of talking about the beginning and then 13 weeks later talking about the end that we miss the connection. Right? So what I want us to do this morning is just to realize and understand that there is, in fact, excuse me, a connection. But even more than that, what I want us to do and to see together this morning is this. That the text that I read to the kids, and that I'll read to you now, should move us to action. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on solid rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains come and the winds blow and the house on the rock stands strong, but the house on the sand falls down with a big crash. And there's a really important phrase here at the very beginning of our text together this morning that I'm afraid that we might run the risk of missing. Because if you've been following along with us for these 13 weeks, you have heard the teachings. One of the things that I love about Washington Avenue is that we are going to teach you from the Bible. And what I'm confident that we have done over the past 12 weeks is teach you from the Bible, and specifically from the Sermon on the Mount. So for us, it's not a matter of having heard. But Jesus doesn't just say anyone who listens to my teaching is wise. Jesus, in his closing parable, says anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. And that for us, friends, is the challenge. Because it's really easy to hear things like, you have heard that it was said, don't murder, but actually don't even be angry. You have heard that it was said, love your enemy, or love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Those are easy things to hear and really, 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 really hard things to follow. They're so hard, so challenging in fact that, well, Jesus doesn't even necessarily say that you have to agree with them. He doesn't say anybody who hears my words and agrees to the wisdom of their teaching and understands the potentially flawed logic behind them, then you're wise. Jesus' invitation is not a matter of agreement. It's not even necessarily a matter of understanding. Jesus' message to his crowd then and to us now is a matter of obedience. I've never been in a highly structured, militaristic type setting, right? I'm not a military veteran. I don't come from a veteran family or anything like that. But I would imagine for those of you who were, or those of you who were in the police force or things like that, where you were taking orders from somebody above you, and what is true there is true for all of us that are employees, is that we have a boss at some point that's telling us what to do. Whether that's marching orders or battle plans or just like this week's spreadsheet, you may have your idea of what you think makes sense, but you do, if you're a good employee, what your boss tells you to do, right? If you're a good soldier, you do what your commanding officer tells you to do. If you're a good police officer, you do what your police chief tells you to do, regardless of your agreement or understanding with it, right? So then it is possible to do something and to put something into practice that you don't necessarily understand or agree with, right? You may be thinking to yourself, Shane, I don't agree with turn the other cheek. If somebody whacks me, I'm gonna whack them back. Okay, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I don't care if you agree with me. I hope you agree with Jesus, but even if you don't, his challenge, his mic drop moment is, hey, I don't care if you agree, but obey. And if you obey, I promise you, your house will stand strong. Because friends, the winds and the rains and the storms are coming. It's not a matter of if, but when. Ronnie and Layla built houses, but the storm came and Layla's stood and Ronnie's did not. Because Ronnie's foundation, not because of his own choosing, buddy, but thanks for letting me use you as an illustration, right? Ronnie's foundation was not as strong as Layla's foundation. So what do you do when the storms come? Well, I told Samantha, hey, grab your camera because we're going to the cellar. Why do we have cellars? For things like, she didn't ask that. That's a rhetorical question. She's much more intelligent than that. We have cellars for things like storms. And cellars are built into our foundations for the moments when the storms come and we need a safe place to go. So what do you do when the storm comes? Well, I hope you trust your foundation. And what we have been talking about and singing about together all morning long is that Jesus is a foundation worth trusting. And I know that to us and to our worldly thinking, which is really a broken way of thinking, Jesus' teachings seem like the sand and the world seem much more like the rock, but I promise you, because Jesus is worthy of being trusted, that if you just put into practice what he says, your life will be strong. I don't want to say better. I had to catch myself literally in the moment of saying that, because there are struggles, right? Those are the storms. But when the storm comes, the foundation is solid. The more that we allow ourselves to become the kingdom people that he is creating us to be and teaching us how to be, when the storms come, and our houses will stand. And I just wonder, regardless of your agreement with the teachings, maybe regardless of your agreement with any of Jesus' teachings or claims about himself, what your life would look like if you just put it into practice for a month. If you just like did and lived the Sermon on the Mount for a month, whether or not you agree with it, whether or not you think Jesus is a kook or is crazy, I wonder what your life might be like then. I wonder what our lives might look like. I'll tell you that after this mic drop moment, obey or die, Jesus walks off the mountain. And the text says that the crowds were astonished at him because he taught as one with authority, which is really interesting because these crowds have been learning from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes all of their lives. These people have authority, right? Their whole title and job and role is like being people of authority about the things of God. And yet Jesus comes and in what was probably about a 45-minute message astounds them as one with authority. And that's before they began to practice what he did. We're a little bit more skeptical, maybe, than they. Jesus leaves the mountain and the crowds follow him, astounded. And what's interesting when you look at the Bible is that rarely in the narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, is there a message or a sermon that is not backed up with a series of miracles. So Jesus leaves the mountain and all of these people come up to him and this leper comes up to him and says, hey, I believe that you can heal me. And Jesus says, great, that's a good thing to believe. And he heals him right there. And he says, hey, keep it quiet, but go and do the things to make yourself clean, but know that you're healed. And that's not just a random miracle that Jesus did. It's not just a random healing that Jesus did. Those healings and those miracles that butt up against all of these teachings from Matthew to Acts are meant to give authority to the person who was teaching. To say everything that that person just said, I know it sounds crazy, but look at what he did afterwards. For Matthew and Mark, or excuse me, for the apostles, it's like, look at what the Holy Spirit did through them. But for Jesus, it's like, oh no, this is everything that he said. You can believe it, you can count on it, you can build your life on it because he can also do this. And I don't know what miracles that you've experienced. We have a weird understanding of miracles anyway and what they are and aren't. Can't help but think about my little guy Tucker who was standing right there on the front row as a almost 2-year-old, 18 months, right? 18 months, his mom says. And he's doing the motions with all the kids right here. And it's like, that kid, he's our miracle. And I don't know what miracles that you have seen in your life. I'd love to hear about them. But if you have seen miracles, if you have seen the sunrise or a thunderstorm roll in, those aren't miracles necessarily, they happen every day. But they are still exercises in God's power, and the same power that created those, that spoke those things literally into creation, is the same Jesus who is inviting us to build our life on his words. So we have a choice before us as we conclude our series this morning, friends. Will you build your house on the sand? And when the rains come and the winds blow, your house crumbles. Or will you build your house on the rock? It doesn't seem sturdy. It's not necessarily logical. It's hard to understand, much harder to put into practice. But the same person who did the miracles promises that when you obey, regardless of your understanding, when you obey, when the storm comes, the rains come down and the floods come up and the winds blow, that your house will stand. So friends, the choice is yours. The choice is ours. Where are we going to build our house? Really, the choice is, do you trust the foundation that you're building your life on? We have spent 13 weeks trying to lay for you a good foundation of what it means to be a kingdom person. You have heard it. Congratulations. But it's up to you, friends, to determine whether and to what extent you will accept and believe and obey and put into practice. And the great news is that you don't have to do it on your own. There's a group of us all together in this room who are trying to do the very same things all together. We would love to connect with you and figure out what that might look like for you and how to take the next step or the first step in building your house on the right foundation. And even more importantly than that, as much as we would love to meet you and guide you and walk with you through this all together, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside you to help you navigate all of these things, because it's not by your strength or your might, but by His that we begin to obey and such to build our lives on the rock. So God, would you help us this morning to not just hear what you have put before us in your words, but to obey, to determine in our lives what it means to obey these words that we have spent the last 13 weeks saturating ourselves in. God, would you give us a boldness, even in spite of not necessarily fully understanding or not even necessarily believing or accepting, to just give it a try? And would you surprise us, amaze us, shock us, awe us, that when your wisdom is built upon, when your wisdom is exercised, there's hope, and we become the kind of people that you have always meant for us to be. Thank you for that and for Jesus. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.